The scripture reading today comes from the final chapter of the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 50. Begin reading with verse 15. Genesis chapter 50, beginning with verse 15. When Joseph's brothers realized that their father was now dead, they said, "What if Joseph bears a grudge against us and wants to pay us back seriously for all the terrible things we did to him?" So they approached Joseph and said, "Your father gave orders before he died, telling us, 'This is what you should say to Joseph. Please forgive your brothers' sins and misdeeds, for they did terrible things to you. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of your father's God.'" Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers wept too, fell down in front of him and said, "We're here as your slaves." But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I God? You planned something bad for me, but God produced something good from it in order to save the lives of many people, just as he's doing today. Now don't be afraid. I will take care of you and your children." So he put them at ease and spoke reassuringly to them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Here's the thing about weeds. No matter how many times you pull them, they keep growing back if you don't get to the root. It was Simon Peter who asked Jesus about forgiveness. He wanted to know, how many times do I have to do this? How many times do I have to forgive the one who does me harm? Joseph probably had the same question. How many times do I have to forgive my brothers for throwing me in that well, for selling me into bondage in Egypt? Here's the backstory to this morning's scripture reading. It had been a long journey for Joseph and his brothers, a journey that began in the complicated confines of parental favoritism, a journey which was set in motion by sibling rivalry and fueled by egotistical bragging and favoritism. It was a journey that took a dark turn when, outnumbered by his brothers, Joseph was cast into a dry well to die. But the journey would not end in that well. Joseph's road would continue all the way to Egypt. Once in Egypt, his road takes more turns. Servitude and prison, honor and opportunity. Then, as happens, their roads converge. Joseph and his brothers meet up again. His brothers, famine-starved in their own country, arrive in Egypt for food. Little did they know, it was Joseph who was working the food pantry that day. They didn't recognize him. Had they forgotten about him? Forgotten about the well once they were rid of him? Joseph remembered. He remembered their faces, eyes green with envy. He remembered their hate and cruelty. Joseph remembered his dreams. Dreams of being in a place of power and his brothers bowing down before him. What would remembering do to Joseph? His identity hidden from his brothers, Joseph postured in his power when their paths first crossed. His dealings with them were harsh. He accused them of being spies and had them locked up, holding one of them prisoner. Under his heavy hand, the brothers remembered. They did remember their brother whom they had wronged. They remembered their guilt. Joseph wept when he realized his brothers remembered too. There was more weeping when the brothers visited the second time to Egypt, weeping so loud that the Egyptians and the household of Pharaoh all heard it. Joseph told his brothers, "I am Joseph. I am your brother." In this encounter, Joseph seems to have come clean. He seems to be willing to forget the whole thing. At least he wanted to remember it differently. He was willing to reframe the event, saying, I know you threw me in that well. I know you sold me into bondage. I know you lied to my father, telling him I was dead. But it wasn't you. It was God. It all happened so God could put me in a place of power, a place where I could preserve your lives through this famine. Joseph remembered what happened at the well, but he was still willing to be their brother as long as he was the one in power, just like his dream, and they were bowing down before him. This, he said, is how God must have wanted it all along. Me in power, you needing me to save you. It's all good, just as it should be. I wonder, is that forgiveness? The Genesis account tells us how Joseph then sends his brothers to get their father Jacob. Together, they all come to settle in the land of Egypt and survive the famine. They're given the best part of the land because Joseph was their brother. They're given jobs working for Pharaoh because of Joseph. They survive and thrive because Joseph intervenes for them. Is that forgiveness? After years of his sons living together in peace in the land of Egypt, Jacob dies. As Jacob has instructed his sons, they take his body back to be buried in the land of the ancestors. Then Genesis chapter 50 offers this account that may offer us lessons on what forgiveness really is. Lessons that might suggest that forgiveness is more than not making people pay for the harm they have done you. More than tenuous coexistence in the same place. Forgiveness is more than that. And to get it right, we have to keep trying and forgiving again and again and again until we get to the root of it. By the time the events of Genesis 50 happened, Joseph and his brothers seemed to have taken all the steps normally associated with forgiveness. But fear and distrust still ravaged their relationship. The brothers seemed to contrive a story about their father requesting that Joseph forgive them for the harm they had done him. It seems that little had changed for the brothers. They're still liars and manipulators themselves. They begged for forgiveness, not with their own voices, but by co-opting the voice of their dead father. They begged forgiveness for the crime of the servants of the God of your father. Laden with such guilt, they did not even name themselves. They did not call themselves Joseph's brothers. They did not invoke the common bond of language of our Father or even our God. Joseph weeps again. I wonder if this was as close to an apology that he ever received. Did he weep because his forgiveness had not been accepted? I wonder if he thought he had already forgiven them. Did he wonder, like Simon Peter, how many times do I have to forgive them? Did he weep because he realized that setting aside revenge, dwelling together peacefully, living in coexistence, is not forgiveness after all? Did Joseph weep because it was harder than that? Whatever the cause of the tears, the brothers seemed to feel that they needed such an insurance policy. In response, Joseph assures them that they are indeed forgiven. Joseph addresses their concern directly, saying, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God?" He seems to address their actions and intentions more directly than he had ever done so far. "Even though you intended to harm me, God intended it for good in order to preserve a numerous people, as he is doing today." Maybe this is what his brothers needed. Maybe forgiveness is more than forgetting, more than not seeking revenge, more than sweeping something under a rug. Maybe what was longed for was beyond forgiveness. Maybe what they really needed was reconciliation. The brothers had lived in the same place, but there was not a connection of brotherly love between them. To forge that connection, Joseph and his brothers had to undergo reconciliation. Reconciliation that paved a new path, moving their story forward in a different direction. This story closes the book of Genesis, which is a book that opens with these words, "In the beginning," words from which the book gets its name. Here in this encounter of reconciliation is another beginning. Truly, a new Genesis is taking place. This act of reconciliation sets the stage for the book of Exodus, which goes on to tell their new story. How many times do we have to forgive someone who does us harm? And why is it difficult to keep forgiving them? Perhaps forgiveness has to be painfully repeated because we're attempting to forgive without there being reconciliation. We want to somehow remember it in a way that sets us in power over the one who has done us harm, fails to talk openly about the harm done, fails to establish a connection of true brotherly love, fails to open up a whole new path that is undeterred by the wrongs of the past. When we forgive without being reconciled, we will have to forgive again and again and again. To explain why Joseph's brothers made up the story about Jacob requesting Joseph's forgiveness, rabbis tell a story that's quite interesting. As the story goes, while Joseph and his brothers were traveling back to the homeland to bury Jacob, Joseph took a detour to stop by the well his brothers had thrown him into. This would, of course, have caused some concern among his brothers. They felt compelled to seek the security of forgiveness again. The rabbis explain that Joseph did not flee from his past. Joseph embraced the past. He returned to grasp the reality of the past, to exercise control over the chaos that had ensued, and to tell the story in a way that opened up a whole new story of possibility. Joseph just wants his brothers back. We all have wells. Some we want to avoid at all costs. Some we revisit, trying every time we go there to muster up enough strength to forgive somebody one more time. All the while wondering, how many times do I have to forgive them? The call of the sermon today is to return to the well one more time, but this time, go there for reconciliation. Go there to offer a prayer of thanksgiving for deliverance. Go there to tell a new story. Go there to open up a whole new Genesis for you and the future. Even if that story involves you and your brothers going peacefully in separate ways in order to end a cycle of hurt and harm. And know this, the good news of the gospel is, regardless of the harm meant you, God's new story offers you grace and healing greater than all of it. By way of reconciliation, let us walk together as brothers and sisters into God's new beginning. Amen.